on the board. She was a Mudgee winner 2 starts ago. She then went to Canterbury on the 24th of July. She just had no luck in the run home. She should have finished closer. The margin was only 2.3 lengths. The Faisu Grills has set this mare for the race, and she's off a 5-week freshen up. Over the two in Born Natale, she only had the one run last preparation. She's had a little bit of a let up. She's drawn well. She races well on the fresh side. 3 in Kenny Zaro, but he's done a good job to win at Gunnedah last start. He found the front. He was never in doubt. Just drawn a little bit awkward here from the start today. I'm not really sure, you know, how much work he's going to have to do from out there in a fast run race. And a 7 in Cash and Run. This horse has won 3 of his past 5. He makes his own luck up on the speed, and he dropped 6.5 kilos here. 5, 2, 3, and 7 for me in race 7.
5, 2, 3, 7, and Anthony 7, 2, 8, and 5. The last race at 5:15 here, and we scratch 1 and 11. $2 slip of the coin job here. Number 4 Derby Star, $6.50 about number 8 Fourth Protocol, $7 about 2 Parter Ola, and 9 Shebring's Luck at 7, and a mover here for number 6 Master Cramsey from 12s into 7.50 today. Number 6.
I'm with the 9 here. I'm 9, 8, 3, and 2. 9 on top in Shebring's Luck. She broke a maiden here about 4 or 5 runs ago, and I thought she was fairly impressive in doing so. She hasn't been far away in recent runs, and she's coming out of a Class 2 at Dubbo last start, so she's back to a Class 1. She again gets 0.5 kilo over the limit. She's got the fitness on her side now. The 8 in Fourth Protocol, he hasn't had any luck in his 2 runs back this preparation. He was checked over the final 100 metres at Corindai last start, and he was only beaten a length. He's only won the 1 from 17, but that was here on this track. He should be at his peak third up. The 3 in Ranzoi, he has drawn an awkward gate, but I like his recent form. He hasn't been far away, probably short of his best distance, but a little freshen up will help. And the 2 in Pareola, I really want to have a look at this horse in the yard. He got back, and he just grounded away over the 1,100. They probably looked a little bit nippy for him there first up, but I expect him to make nice improvement getting onto the home track with that one run under the belt. 9, 8, 3, and 2 for me in race 8.
9, 8, 3, 2. Anthony Collins, 4, 3, 8, 9. What's your best, Priscilla?
Just the one best bet today, race 5, number 1, Charmers in the Cup. I think he looks very hard to beat from the Chris Lees yard.
Yep.
So as the quaddie goes, we kick things off in race 5 on 1, 7, and 6. In the second leg, 1, 3, and 4. In the third leg, 5, 2, 3, and 7. And in the last leg, 9, 8, 3, and 2.
Okay, is Gary with you today?
Gary's with me today, and look, we're keen for a big day at Moree.
Good on you, Priscilla. Thanks for that. Enjoy Moree this afternoon.
Thank you, will do.
Okay, and first Moree there comes up at 1 o'clock. We have Gerard Daffy with Tab Movers at about, about 12:30 this afternoon. Anthony Collins with his best at about 12:45. Jockey challenge there. Aaron Bullock, wow, $1.10, pretty short there. $5.50 for Ben Looker, $21 next best. Ashley Morgan, Belinda Hodder at 41. In just a moment, we go chasing and pacing rewind.
Sky Sports Radio has everything set to bring you a complete coverage of the state's biggest ever spring carnival. With unprecedented interest, every Saturday we can be trusted to bring you all the vital racing information, starting with Racing HQ. There's Duffercy and Dinopolis with the Sydney winners, plus all the crucial tab prices. Then the National Racing Service will present all the colour and excitement of racing, headed by race caller Darren Flindell. This spring, rely on Sky Sports Radio.
Yeah, we just heard Gary Harley's just given us a call letting you know that trials at Gosford going ahead tomorrow on a heavy nine. Those trials going ahead as normal on a heavy nine tomorrow.
Chasing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
Let's go harness racing. Freddie Hastings, good morning.
Good day to you, Kev.
Righty-o, Menangle, what a night it was. We had the champ appearing but didn't get the win. Where would you like to start?
We'll start with the Group 2, the Australian Pacing Gold. Kev, great interest surrounded the reappearance at the track of Expensive Ego. It had already been a dual Group 1 winner in Queensland and came to Menangle last night looking to defend its unbeaten record.
But Jimmy Douglas says, let's go, boy. And on the final turn, he quickly gets a couple in front of Magnifico to watch. 28 won the quarter. They were followed by Yep Got Chooks and Studley Paul. The leader is Expensive Ego. Shows the way by about a length and a half. Trying ever so hard is Magnifico to watch. He just livens him up. This excitement machine, Expensive Ego, going for 6 out of 6. And he's got it. And a group two to boot. And it's Expensive Ego beating Magnifico to watch. And they got away from Studley Paul.
Yeah, very impressive, Kev. As I said, 6 starts now, 6 wins. We spoke to Jimmy Douglas, you might recall, a couple of weeks ago, and Jimmy, you know, we gave him a huge rap, this horse, and the plans now, I guess, are to turn him out, and I can't wait to see him in his 3-year-old season. You try not to get too caught up in you know, the juveniles, because things, you know, things don't always pan out as they grow, but at the moment, he's a real boom pacer. To think he only won a midweek race just going back about 2 months ago, and now he's got 2 Group 1s and a Group 2, 6 out of 6, and he's banked $135,000. La La Bron broke her maiden status in the fillies runoff at Group 2 level.
They near the turn, and La La Bron travels well but has nowhere to go as they run the corner now. 29.5 the split. First to see the judge, Operative Anna. He had a look across Rattray. He can see I'm Delightful winding up with a big run. Tingaringi gets a middle split to come out after them, and La La Bron is letting down on the inside any number of chances. Operative Anna, La La Bron, Tingaringi right through the eye diddle diddle. It's La La Bron going to the lead. La La Bron will win the group two. La La Bron is first, second, Tingaringi.
Yeah, it breaks maiden status. What a way to do it, Kev. In a group two, and La La Bron, it was a Luke McCarthy special. You could see coming to the turn, and it was reflected in that call there. The horse was travelling, and Luke doesn't usually get his lean on, but he was pulling against La La Bron because the horse was travelling so well, and once he got her into some clear gap on the inside, once Operative Anna just lugged up the track a bit, Luke shot her through, and she was able to score. And, of course, the cynosure of all eyes was Tiger Tara. Could he bow out the season with a group or another win to his credit? Of course, a cracking season for him. And he was upset in a real boil over.
But Joe Star of Mia's Packing Plenty, Island Special Major. Now Tiger Tara letting down on the outside and further out as Lieutenant. Joe Star of Mia, Tiger Tara, he's levelling up. Tiger Tara in the middle, Island Special Major. He's got a fight on his hands, Tiger. Island Special Major's pulling out plenty close to home. It's a boil over. Island Special Major set in the breeze and has outstayed them to beat Tiger.
Incredible effort. And this horse, Island Special Major, Kevin, is one that's really relishing when they get to the 2,300 metres. He did it tough without cover, Island Special Major, outside of Joe Star of Mia. It was a good battle in the early stages of the race. Toddy McCarthy set Tiger Tara to try and get the lead, but there was no lead. Joe Star of Mia held, so Todd slipped back into the leader's slipstream, but Island Special Major came around, sat parked and has won, and Jason Grimson doing a good job with him. But I mentioned Todd McCarthy just then. He's our guest on Pacing Rewind this morning to recap the season, because Todd crowned the state leading state driver and the leading metro driver. Todd, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks very much for having me on.
A pleasure. You've always been very generous with your time with this program, and we appreciate it. Of course, it's been an almighty season for you, and I thought it appropriate, given, you know, we start our new season today, that we reflect on the last season. 173 wins for the year, or for the season, at state level. You won the metro with 53. Big year. I'm going to pin you down. Can you give me a highlight?
It probably has to be the Inner Dominion. That's pretty prestigious race study, and one that we've always dreamt of winning. So to be able to tick that one off, that was pretty special for me.
I said a big year. You mentioned the Inter Dominion there. You also won the Vic Cup, the Hunter Cup. You won Breeders' Challenge, Breeders' Crown. You won Derbies. You just had an incredible season. For me, one of the highlights, and it was a night that I wasn't there, but the night you drove 6 winners. You had 7 drives at the program. It was the 27th of July this year. 7 drives. On paper, Todd, you probably had a pretty strong book, but in your wildest dreams, did you think you could land 6 of them?
Yeah, no, it was a really good night. I sort of hadn't actually, you know, I'd go through them and sort of weigh up my chances and that for the night, but I never sort of add them up or anything. But, I had a little bit of luck that night, and, you know, I had some great trainers there and some really nice horses, and that it was a great night.
Certainly not underestimating your talent, but yeah, there were some nice drives. A few of them are fancies, but they don't know their favourites in the paper, and you have to drive them to win, and exactly what you did. It was an unprecedented night. Six winners, as I said, seven drives. Quite an incredible night. Another highlight for you, Todd, of course, was the World Driving Championship. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a good trip. I didn't have a lot of joy overall in the series, but it was a fantastic experience, and Sweden's a great place. I was lucky enough to be there the year before for the Elite Lop, so to go again and catch up with a few people and travel around and get to see a bunch of different tracks, it was a really good experience, and I felt as if I learned a little about the trotters while I was there too. So, like I said, didn't do that well in the series, but to take something away from it, overall, great experience, and really, you know, happy to be able to go and do that.
I rattled off all the big wins, and of course, you know, your feat at Menangle on that 27th of July. What spurs you on season after season? You've been the leading driver now for several years on the bounce. What spurs you on to keep lifting your standards? Tell us a bit about your motivations.
I think it's... I love what I do. I love going to the track and you know, racing horses. And I got a real passion for it. I genuinely am excited to go to work. You know, every race meeting we sort of go to, it's, to me, it's a privilege to be able to do what I do, and to be able to work with some of the horses I do and have some of the trainers back me that I have is it just makes it all the more the better.
Now, we mentioned Tiger Tara last night finishing second. Is he okay? Everything was okay with the horse?
Yeah, I was happy with him, and Kev was happy with him too. It's just... 2300's hard there sometimes, and he hadn't raced for the 3 weeks, and just at the 200, actually, I thought I had him, then he just sort of just probably just peaked on his run a little bit there, and he just ran out of puff, but I think that's all it comes down to. I'm sure Kev will get the work into him, and he'll be back to the old Tiger again next week.
I guess bigger fish to fry coming up in the next few months, and that would have been a good little blowout for him. As you said, stepping up 2300 with a few weeks between runs, certainly wouldn't have lost any cast with that effort last night.
No, I don't think so. And it was, occasionally everyone can sort of have a down night, you know, but it's sort of always then builds in that open class on a Saturday night. You can't underestimate anyone in the race. And, the race probably didn't go how we thought, but we still had a terrific trip nevertheless, and we just weren't quite good enough last night.
I think Grimmo's horse can't be underestimated at the trip. He seems to have a very good record at 2300 there.
He does, and Jason does a terrific job with his horses too. So, like I said, just when it comes into those long trips over Menangle there, I think everybody's always a champ.
Now, traditionally, you take a little bit of a break at season's end. Is that in the pipeline this time around? Are you going to have any time off, or are you going to keep ploughing through?
No, not yet. I'm going to keep pressing on. We got a few more races coming up, so... just keep chipping away at pretty, and I having a pretty good run. So when you're having a good run, you're never really looking for a holiday.
Don't break the pattern.
Yeah, it's only when things start going bad that you start looking to go and press a bit. So, like I said, really enjoying it and just happy to keep chipping away.
Good stuff. Well, look, we really appreciate your time this morning. I just thought, given we season's end, state's leading driver, it's been an incredible season for you with the horses you've driven. As you said, yes, it gets down to some of the trainers backing you, but you've certainly got to produce on the track, and you've done that. So congratulations on another successful season, Todd, and I guess you'll be staring down, looking to maybe make it 200 next season.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I haven't cracked the 200 yet, so that's a milestone I'd definitely like to tick off.
I wouldn't bet against you doing it. Thanks for your time.
No, much appreciated. Thanks very much, guys. Cheers.
Good on you. There he is, Todd McCarthy. Kev, he'll be crowned the state's leading driver just on the premierships. Todd McCarthy with 173. Amanda Turnbull, 154. Rob Morris, 116. And Luke McCarthy, 103. They rounded out the Centurions. You might recall this very program 12 months ago. I said a young driver to watch is Josh Gallagher. Well, Josh made it into the top 10 state drivers with 72. Only a young fella. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and I was thrilled to see him crack the top 10, Kev. And as I said, Todd won the Metro Drivers. Kerry Ann Morris was the state's leading trainer with 163 wins. The Metro trainer went to Shane and Lauren Tritton, the training partnership, with 40 and a half wins. And the concession driver was Cameron Hart with 95, a successful season for Cameron. He actually landed a winner last night. But that brings the season to a close. It's onwards and upwards for 2019-2020. Before I go, Kev, special mention to a driver that I just think is the greatest. I have a lot of drivers in high esteem, but Chris Alford, 7,000th winner on Friday. Gee. Quite an incredible feat. I think I saw someone put a stat up, something along the lines he had to have driven a winner every day for the last 19 years to attain that, based on averages. To stay at the top of your field for so long, that's a pretty damn fine achievement.
Fred, what's been the highlight of your season?
Oh, look, for me, Kev, I love Breeders' Challenge Day at Menangle. It's a day that you see all you see fairy tales sometimes. You know, trainers getting their first or drivers getting their first Group 1s. Obviously, races like the Miracle Mile are always great to call. But for me, I'd have to say just the overall racing on Breeders' Challenge Day really excites me. I go to the track with a spring in the step. I do most days, but certainly that day, you just know that there could be a fairy tale story in the offing, and generally the day throws one up.
Excellent, mate. Well done, you. Another terrific season from yourself, and we look forward to another one coming up. And when are we next going to hear you on the wireless, Fred?
You'll hear me on the wireless. I love that word. I'll be on the wireless on Tuesday afternoon from headquarters doing the midweek program. Look forward to that.
The well-worn path from the Hastings household to Tabcorp Park, Menangle. Thank you, Fred. Enjoy your Sunday.
Will do. Cheers, Kevin. And just quickly, to all the dads out there that are tuned in, happy Father's Day, and especially to my dad. He'll be tuned in. He's my second biggest fan behind my mother. It's nice to have fans, but Dad will be tuned in, so best wishes to you, old mate.
Look, we should also mention that on the pace tomorrow morning at 10:30 thereabouts, starting tomorrow, Monday, host of On the Pace will be Brittany Graham. She's joined the team.
Yeah, I spoke to Brittany very briefly last night, one of my rare sojourns out of the broadcast box, and I caught up with Brittany. She told me she's very excited about doing a bit of work on radio, so that'll be a great addition. So well done to Britt. She'll be on Mondays, yeah.
Yeah, every Monday. Excellent. Thank you, Fred.
Cheers, Kev.
Fred Hastings there, part one of Chasing and Pacing Rewind. We go greyhound racing in a moment.
Have you grabbed your chance yet to be a part of the Kosciuszko? Time is running out, with $5 tickets on sale until September 8th. Give yourself a chance of winning a share in a Kosciuszko runner via your TAB app. But do it now.
Your Father's Day gift, if you haven't done it yet, get your father a $5 ticket for the Kosciuszko. You never know what it might bring, either through the TAB app or go into your local venue. You've only got a week. Ticket sales end next Sunday, but if you do buy it in store at your local venue, make sure you register at thekosciuszko.com.au. Most importantly there, for the Kosciuszko. Rightio, let's go. Greyhound Racing from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Good morning, Mick Cowley. Hi, mate.
Good morning, Kev. Mate, as Freddie just said, yeah, happy Father's Day to all the listeners out there, especially to mine as well. Yeah, if I could be half the father to my kids that my dad's been to me, they'll be very lucky kids, mate.
And is he tuned in to listen to his son sort of blast on the airwaves?
Mate, never misses it. I can always count on one avid listener every Sunday morning, mate.
Okay, well, was he as excited as everybody else was about what we saw last night with the feral one running around at Gunnedah?
Mate, it's amazing. I think everyone who's touching the greyhound industry at all is excited about the Feral. And the Feral and Jack Smith didn't let us down at Gunnedah last night. It was a very impressive win. Fantastic, 12 and three-quarter lengths. They don't usually win by that sort of margin, and just a tad off the track record, Kev.
And let's have a listen to it, and a really terrific call from Dan Russ, who was so pumped about it. Here he is.
Racing. Feral Frankie began beautifully from out wide. He's trying to get across. They all all jammed up. Come on, Duchess has held the front. Now the Feral takes the lead off the back. Feral Frankie leads the way by four. The Pops Paradise, then Come on, Duchess. China O'Brien, a break back, then came in behind them. Peanut Brittle. Charlie Casey a mile back was Squiggle Keeping, and so too was Muzza Keeping. But have a look at the champ go. Feral Frankie, all eyes on the clock. He's 10 in front, all over. Feral Frankie streaks them. China O'Brien grabs second. The local hope, Come on, Duchess, has grabbed third.
Dan Russ needed to lie down after that call. He was so excited about Feral Frankie, but the win was just, it was pretty awesome. Good to see such a large crowd in attendance as well. And just, I think Dan reflected, Mick, what everybody thought about what we were seeing there, or hearing anyway.
Absolutely. He was excited, wasn't he? And that was only the heat. Imagine what he's going to be like next Sunday for the final when the Feral hits the track again.
That's right.
That could be interesting. Better give him the week off, I'd say, Kev, just to prepare for it. But, mate, it was a great crowd, as you did mention, and one of the people who was there was my boss, Tony Mestrov, the Greyhound Racing New South Wales Chief Executive, and he's joining us on the line.
Good morning, Michael.
How are you, Tony? It was a fantastic night there by all reports.
I dare say Gunnedah hasn't seen a night like it in a long time. There was obviously a great crowd. The buzz after Feral Frankie won was amazing. It's great for industry. I mean, the industry really needs a hero like racing has Winks. And it was a fantastic night. Great call by Dan as well.
But as you said, yeah, racing, all racing codes need a hero, and the Feral and Jack Smith as well. You know, Jack's certainly going along with it. They have become that icon for greyhound racing. Everyone wants to know what the Feral's doing. But the amount of traction on social media last night after the race was just amazing. I'm sure it was similar at the track.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. And people, a family came from Maitland just to watch Feral Frank. It was amazing. People just want to see this dog. And speaking to Jack, he said he has calls every day from people all over New South Wales and also interstate wanting to know about the dog and what he's going to do next. So quite interesting. Jack, he's, you know, hopefully everything going equal that Feral gets through next week. And it's interesting to see what Jack does. He's not quite sure. He knows he needs a run if he wins next week somewhere up to the semi-finals. But it's all interesting. And you know, Gunnedah was a light last night. It was a great night, and the club did so well. And obviously, you know, part of it was to raise revenue, and Travis Collins played after it. It was sensational. So it was a really great night, one to save it, definitely.
It must be good from your perspective, too, to finally get the series up and running. Yeah, it's been a good build-up. It's been a lengthy build-up to actually start. Now we've pretty much got 6-7 weeks of continual million-dollar chase racing.
Yeah, it's exciting and really something we can, you know, build the profile of the industry. Also, obviously, we've got the GAP program. The GAP was there last night, represented, and obviously it's all about, you know, making people aware of the GAP program as well. But it's great to get the series away. I know in each of the country areas, they are buzzing. We're getting really good media and PR. You know, the team's worked overtime to make that happen. So Greyhound's being talked about in a positive way.
Was it a case last night of not just the faithful that turn up to greyhound racing meetings here, there and everywhere, but actually bringing new people into the sport, which is part of the aim of the series?
That's exactly right. And so many people I spoke to last night about that had never been before or they hadn't been for a long time. So definitely this series has enacted those people that, you know, obviously been involved in the past or new people coming to the track. And, you know, a dog like Feral Frankie can really enact this industry and push it forward by winning. So all in all, that's what it's about. It's about attracting a new person as well this series. And hopefully, you know, we've got some looking at syndications, you know, probably early next year and bringing a new person. That'll be another way to enhance the industry as well.
You mentioned Travis Collins performing after the last. I'm sure the footy's still tapping after being there for the concert. That's another initiative that GRNSW have put in place for the Saturday meetings, the five Saturday meetings at regional venues. We've got another one coming up next week at Bathurst. That's obviously another initiative to try and attract people to the track.
Yeah, also attracting people, obviously the new people, but also making it a night of entertainment. I think in the past, greyhound racing hasn't done that, and I think by having, you know, I think Travis is 7 times Golden Guitar winner there last night, that was buzzing at about 8:30 last night, and Travis really bought into it. He understands, you know, the country is going through a difficult period with the drought and so on, and just to see a smile on people's faces was great to see last night.
You touched on it there, and we'll wrap it up shortly, but you did touch on there that country people have been going through a hard time. I remember I was with you when we drove from Tamworth to Gunnedah a couple of weeks ago, and it's just as dry as anything. This is an opportunity to get people into those regional areas to spend a bit of money and to try and help the locals out as well.
Exactly right. It's about helping the clubs. They're struggling as well for revenue, but people can come at a really moderate price. It was $5 in last night, a great night of entertainment. So it is about being reasonable and modest around the price where, you know, clubs are charging to get in. But as I said, we really want to boost the morale of these clubs and the people in the areas. We're a regional sport, and if you know the industry is strong in the regions, I think the industry is strong overall in New South Wales.
Absolutely. Tony, thank you so much for your time today. I'll no doubt see you back in the office this week as we continue the trek around New South Wales for the $1 million chase.
Great. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
Tony, before you go, could I just ask you a question? From last year's $1 million chase to this year, I know you've sat back with Mick this morning and said about things that you've put in place. Did much have to be tinkered with from last year's model to this year? Have you changed it around a lot from how it worked last year?
We haven't changed it around a lot, Kevin. What we've done, we've made it more regional. So this year, you're seeing 14 finals into 56 dogs going into a semi-final at Wentworth Park, and then obviously a last 10th at Wentworth Park, where each winner of the 8 heats goes through. So 56 out of the 64 dogs will come from the regions. That's the major change.
Right.
We've really made the other changes. We've made each of the finals, 5 of them, a real event, with Adam Harvey and Travis Collins. So that's been the difference. We've really regionalised it. It's important to the industry to be strong in the region. So that's been the major change, as well as we haven't restricted the number of heats a dog can go to. So you can go anywhere of the 14 to get through to the final, and the top 4 dogs go through. Last year was only the top 2. So we've really given the country dogs every chance to make that semi-final, which is important to us.
Well, was that due to feedback from country areas or just generally industry as a whole?
Yeah, well, look, it was a bit of both. We had a debrief straight after last year's series and looking at ways to enhance it and grow it. And I think we did engage the participants and other organisations to make the series the best we can. So it was a bit of both, but I think everyone agrees that it's this year we've tinkered with it, and it's a great concept. The feedback's been really strong.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
Okay, Tony Mestroff there, and terrific, Mick. And look, night one's been and gone, and the publicity leading up to it helped, no doubt, by the attraction of Feral Frankie. But gee whiz, it's an exciting month ahead, isn't it? A month, 6 weeks or so.
Absolutely, like every, and there's no respite either. Bathurst hold their heats tomorrow, and they've drawn a good field. They've actually got 2 heats, and in one of the heats is the third place getter from last year's grand final, Skyway for Vic Sultana. It'll go round. It's only had 7 runs since it finished third in that final last year. Unfortunately, it fractured a toe at Wentworth Park in the Paws of Thunder heats back in January. Taking a while to get ready, but apparently it's ready to go and going through the same route that it went last year with the Bathurst heats. Then on Tuesday night, we've got Gosford. Gosford are one of the 5 new clubs that joined $1 million Chase this year, and Gosford hold their heats on Tuesday night. Jamal Ajet, the dog that was 2nd in the grand final last year, it goes around at Gosford on Tuesday night. So plenty happening in the $1 million chase. We've also got Dapto, another club first-timer, on Thursday night. And then Bathurst will hold their final on next Saturday evening. Again, they'll have Travis Collins performing after the last. So another great initiative, another great night of entertainment.
Fantastic. Look, we'll talk about Dapto, that the maiden last Thursday was called off and it's been rescheduled. But let's chat about the Group 2 Blacktop. And it was all about Aston Duke. Here's Macca.
Aston Duke on the inside came out good. He's trying to punch up, going quickly down the outside. Bit Flash, Mystic Ride between them. IROC got through, but Aston Duke in a race for the leads got it. And then back on the inside, Good Odds Buddy to the back straight, followed by Black Forge. A good way back to Double Bagger, and Sheba's Dream at the tail. The field out of the back straight. IROC the leader in 2nd place. Aston Duke moves up, joins it, and heads it. And behind those runners, Good Odds Buddy, Aston Duke takes over. Good Odds Buddy through the centre, but Aston Duke for me, the IROC and Good Odds Buddy, followed by Mystic Ride.
There we go, John McDermott calling the Blacktop as usual. Aston Duke, just too good.
What was amazing was the track itself. They had that much rain up in Newcastle. Jason McKay, who trains Aston Dukes, and he was surprised they actually raced. I was actually speaking to Greg Radley earlier this morning, and he drove past the track. And he said it was just amazing that the amount of rain that they were able to race there. But credit to the club and in particular track curator Mick Horn. They got the track ready. 29.65 Aston Duke ran, which is nothing to sneeze at. And congratulations to Jason McKay's third win in the Black Top, and of course Aston Duke won the Maitland Gold Cup last year, so kind of cleaned up those two big ones around the local area for Jason. So yeah, as I said, congratulations. Aston Duke will now look at going to the $1 million chase heats at the Gardens in I think it's scheduled for the 21st of September. Kev?
Right, Mick, the Dapto Maiden was called off due to the rain, but it's back on this week. Yeah,
it is indeed. I felt for Paul Battler, Tim Newbolt, stuck in the commentary box as the rain was bucketing down on Thursday night, watching it on TV. Unfortunately, they got through a few races but couldn't get through to the Dapto Maiden, the 10,000 to the Winner Maiden. So they have rescheduled that for this Thursday night. The box draw stays the same, nothing changed.